अञ्जना शलकया चक्षुर उन्मीलिताम येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So there are two types of initiation going on today. Actually, let's describe first what the word initiation means. Initiation means to begin, like you initiate some particular building or progress or something like that. It doesn't mean to end. So many people think that once they get their Hare Krishna names, then they're a member of the club, full-fledged member of the club, and then that's it. You know, Hare Krishna, bring in the prasadam. Then you have to serve me. And especially if someone becomes a Brahmin, they think, wow, I'm a Brahmin, and you have to serve me. Because everyone's supposed to serve the Brahmins, isn't it? Like we know, the Brahmin is the natural spiritual master for all the other classes, and the sannyasi, thank God, is the natural spiritual master for everyone else. So everyone has to serve the sannyasi, see? So, we're very attached to material designations, right? Like, especially in India, people are called certain names. Their name is in accordance with their caste. You've heard of caste before? Like, someone may be a Brahmin by caste, and therefore is Sharma. Oh, please accept my obeisances, Mr. Sharma. And someone may be just a simple Vaishya, Mr. Topiwala, selling some hats somewhere, right? So everyone is known, very much a hierarchical system. Hierarchical means everybody has a different position, like that in accordance with birth. But Krishna in the Gita, he says, Chaturvarna Mayashishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that one should be known by his qualities and work, not by janma, not by his birth. So this caste system is oftentimes, and most often, misapplied nowadays. In fact, originally, it was in accordance with qualities and work and not in accordance with birth, but later on, in modern-day India, it became the modern-day caste system, in which certain people are discriminated against just because they have a certain name or they were born in a certain village. And it got so crazy that even if you were born in a low family, if you stepped on the shadow of someone who was a Brahmana, you'd get beaten up. Can you imagine that? I mean, how can you avoid stepping on someone's shadow? Actually, disciples should never step on the guru's shadow, so they had to be careful. So stay at least 20 feet away from me. There's these different rules like that. You know about that. You're a Brahmin, Mr. Sharma. Govinda Sharma. So anyways, Trivedi, Chaturvedi, Dwivedi, whatever. So this is simply external. We are not interested in the external designation. What is one's family name? What country one comes from? What religion one is from? The point is, aho bachato garyam, yadi vagre vartate namatubhyam, te pustahustahuva shashna aryar vamanuchar nama granantiyate. This is a very wonderful statement from the Vedic literatures. It says, how wonderful it is that if someone is chanting Krishna's name, aho bhattasva pachato garyan, yaji vagri vartate namatubhyam, that even if he's born in the family of pig eaters, that's pretty bad, then it's understood he's come to the Brahmanucha nama, granantiye te, and he's absorbed in Krishna's names, not just chanting once, but absorbed in Krishna's name, then he actually can come to the status of Brahman. But we have to see if someone's qualified internally to be a Brahman, or to be a Vaishnava, or to have an exalted position. So therefore, we look for someone's qualities. So this process of initiation is the beginning of developing good qualities. And so the Acharyas have analyzed it as follows. That in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavat, everybody is Shudra. It doesn't matter, you're Sharma, Trivedi, or whatever. By birth, you are Shudra. Now, you don't want to go around telling people that, because they get very upset, isn't it? You go to someone's house, And they'll be doing all sorts of nonsense, but if they have a Brahmin name, I'm a Brahmin by caste. And you'll find them in McDonald's. Right? Brahmins in McDonald's. I know it rhymes. Brahmin? No, it doesn't rhyme. So that is not Brahmin. So the point is, everyone in Kali Yuga Shudra, by caste, or by quality, that is, and then Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskara Bhavet Dvijam, by the proper reformatory method, one can actually become a Brahmin. So what does it mean to reform someone? So the Acharyas have described this process of reformation. It begins, for those of us in Kali Yuga, which is everyone seated in this room, that ado srada tata saru sango ta, that in the beginning, you begin to associate with the devotees and develop a little faith. Because without the association of a Vaishnava, Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Latavish, you're just wandering everywhere. In this life you may be a Sharma, in the next life you may be cockroach. Next life you may be Indra. Right? There's 8,400,000 species of life. You can wander through all those and enjoy eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all those species of life. So we're wandering like that. But the thing that stops the wandering, that brings us to the point of being human beings, is to get the bhakti lata bij. That means the seed of devotion from a pure devotee like His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're also fortunate in the Krishna Consciousness Movement to have Prabhupada's association. Someone asked me today, yesterday, they always ask me the question, how do you have a pure devotees association? Because we were speaking this morning, one of the methods of obtaining prema is to associate with a pure devotee. So they said, how can you figure out if someone's a pure devotee? What's the test? Do you stick pins in him just to see if he feels pain? And if he doesn't, he's on the Brahmabhuta platform? Or do you insult him to see if he's gets angry, like Brigham Muni did with Lord Vishnu? I mean, how do you tell? Well, it's easy. Just go to Prabhupada, and you can tell. And anyone who is serving Prabhupada with his body, mind, and words, connected with Prabhupada. We're talking about devotees in our movement. The disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo vidahu. This knowledge and spiritual potency must be received through disciplic succession. So those who are connected with their bona fide guru, and for those of us in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, that means Prabhupada and his representatives. And then you get the bhakti lata bij. Otherwise, you're not getting the bhakti lata bij. Like if you hear the holy name, for example, from someone, Vaishnava Mukod Girnam Bhutam Harikatam Ritam Shravananaiva Kartam Yam Sharpo Chishtiyatapayam. It may have adverse effects. It may be like the milk touched by the lips of a serpent or a snake. So you have to hear and from someone who is like Prabhupada or connected with Prabhupada, serving Prabhupada. That means he's a servant of Prabhupada. What does that mean? He stays in Prabhupada's society and serves this great society. This ISKCON, we have branches all over the world. Someone was asking me on the way here, do we have any temples in Europe, for example? One of my GBC zones is in Europe. So I said, oh yes, I travel all over Europe. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of devotees in countries that you've never heard of, like Bosnia, Serbia. In Bosnia, a few years ago, the people were killing each other. Not devotees, don't worry. But the people were fighting between Bosnia and Serbia and Croatia. Some of you may know about this. But then the devotees, they're all gathering together, tens of thousands. One of the places I'm going after this is a summer camp we have for devotees in those countries. And they're chanting and dancing. So many thousands of devotees. It's all part of Prabhupada's society. What Prabhupada called the United Nations of the spiritual world. You know, that really differentiates us from practically any other church, temple, or religion. Usually it's a pretty ethnic thing, isn't it? You know, you go into different temples, it's everybody from the same part of India, or same part of China, or same part of, you know, wherever, of New Zealand, or Fiji, or whatever. You go into the Mandali, they're all the same, drinking their nice kava after Ram Nomi. So, but Krishna consciousness is so nice. Prabhupada's society is so nice. The proof that it's beyond the bodily distinction, that it's something completely transcendental, is we have people of all nationalities here. I mean, even in this fire sacrifice, we have people from the far-off country of Fiji. And European devotees, and even some from New Zealand, some genuine Kiwi people we have here at the fire sacrifice. It's amazing, isn't it? So it's a real United Nations. And me, I'm from America. I mean, the body. Sorry. And you're from India. You know, the priest is from India. You know, so it's real. Look, this is what's happening here. There's a rainbow festival. You know what a rainbow festival is? You shouldn't know. But it's a spiritual rainbow festival. So, anyway, so someone who gets that Bhakti Lata Bij, after wandering in all the universes, even if they're born as an animal, they can go back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dog that went back to Godhead just by getting the Bhakti Lata Bij from Lord Chaitanya. Amazing, isn't it? A dog can go back to Godhead. A dacoit. There's even one story about Govardhan. There was a rakshasa who was attacking a man, and the man threw a Govardhan Shila at him, and he became Vaikunthavasi. You know the story? It's an interesting story. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's representatives, a dog can walk, a dog can swim in ocean, a lame man can walk, or a blind man can see, or anything can happen. So this is very wonderful. So this is the Bhakti Lata Bij. So let's get back to that verse. Adoshradatata sadhu sangota. And then, when one gets that Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotion, then one begins to execute bhajana kriya, the activities of devotional service. So what we're doing here today is like the initiation is part of bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means the activities of bhakti or worship. And an essential part of that activity is initiation. So initiation means basically to make a promise. I mean, if you have to take or whittle it down to the essence, it's making promises. In front of the fire, in front of the deities, in front of the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins, everybody else. There's witnesses. Just like when you sign a contract, you always have witnesses, right? Like two witnesses, sometimes it's notarized. So Krishna is notarizing this. For example, there was one time, this is a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a Brahmana, a very rich Brahmana, who promised his daughter to a very poor Brahmana. Very interesting story. This is a story of Sakshi Gopal. So he promised his daughter, and the poor Brahmana, they were in Vrindavan. So the poor Brahmana said, you know, this is not going to work because your family will never allow your daughter to marry me. And the older Brahmana said, no, I'm in charge. Whatever I promise will happen, I'm the boss of my family. But he didn't realize that in most families, the wife is the boss. Right? Because his wife wasn't there, he thought he was the boss. That was the problem. So anyway, so he makes this promise. They get back to their village. And then what happens is his wife says, no way. I will kill myself if you do this. The older Brahmana's wife. And the children say, you know, we're going to kill you too, or something. And so then, because he had asked Govinda, Gopal, Sakshi Gopal, that means the witness Gopal, to be a witness to that promise in Vrindavan. So then eventually, there was some trickery. The older Brahmana's son said that the younger Brahmin had fed his father some poison, and therefore you couldn't trust him. So the younger Brahmin went all the way across India again, asked the deity to bear witness, and the deity walked all the way across India, came back, and said, yes, this marriage should take place. So we are also calling upon Krishna, Giridhari as a witness that all of you keep your promises, and if you don't, he'll come to you and chastise you. So you better be careful. So basically, initiation means to keep promises, like a marriage means to keep promises or make promises. And in Kali Yuga, the one problem we have in Kali Yuga is that truthfulness is very quickly disappearing. We were mentioning this the other day at the engagement marriage ceremony. That there's four principles of religion, right? We turned the engagement into a marriage. So, it's called a shotgun marriage. Those of you who know what I'm talking about. So there's four principles of religiosity. Cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And three of them are completely gone, and the only one that's remaining is truthfulness to a certain degree. And part of truthfulness is keeping your promises, not breaking them. Prabhupada was so shocked when devotees broke their initiation promises. He couldn't believe it because he came from a high-class culture. And people in the West generally were not from such a high-class culture. The people Prabhupada was preaching to were hippies. Does everyone know what a hippie is? No. Anyway, Prabhupada said, when Prabhupada was asked, what is a hippie? Prabhupada said, oh, you know, something wonderful. So they had no practice in keeping promises. In fact, when I was young, we were taught that promises are meant to be broken. And if you make a promise, you're supposed to cross your fingers behind your back while you're making your promise. You've heard this before? And then it doesn't count. So keep your hands in front of you, everybody. Let me see them. Okay. So they're promising. What are they promising? Of course, they're promising the basic thing, you know, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulated principles. That's nice. But they're promising also to dedicate their life to Krishna consciousness. Why? I mean, what's the reason? Why should they dedicate their life to Krishna consciousness? Why shouldn't they dedicate their life to just making more money, being successful in this world, enjoying, you know that poem, fill the belly, that's the goal, you're the body, not the soul. Right? You heard that poem? I told you that poem. That's a Kali Yuga chant. That's a song I wrote. It is. I mean, it's a rap song I wrote about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Fill the belly, that's the goal. You're the body, not the soul. So, the reason is because it'll bring them eternal happiness, bliss, and enable them to express fully their loving propensity. And that's really why we're not happy now. You know, the reason everybody in this world, and many people, are depressed, unhappy, searching, because they want to love in an unlimited way, and they're not able to do that. They've tried. They tried with their children, husband, wife, dog, cat, tarantula, all sorts of different creatures they tried. Or iPhone, nowadays, or car. But they're unsuccessful. So if you can fulfill that loving propensity in an unlimited way, then you can be unlimitedly happy. So that's what we're offering. Unlimited happiness. And all you got to do is give up onions and garlic. You know, we were speaking to someone about that yesterday. He said, I can't go back to Godhead because I like onions and garlic. They don't have it there in the spiritual world. That's all you got to do. What's the problem? You know, give up illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, chant 16 rounds a day, simple thing. So the devotees are vowing to do that and vowing to dedicate their lives. And as they dedicate their lives, guess what happens? So they advance more in Krishna consciousness, bhajana kriya, and then they get rid of things that they don't want. They clean the house. Or as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, they cleanse the mirror of the mind, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Bahaba Mahadvagni Devapanam, isn't it? And that cleansing of the mirror of the mind, which is the heart, not the brain, that's called Anartha Nivritti. Getting rid of unwanted things, what? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are the things you don't want. Modern society means increasing the lust. You take the lust pill, and you increase the lust, most popular medicine, increase the anger. Watch plenty of rugby games. Okay. Also, you increase the lust by watching Bollywood films, right? We've had many people watch Bollywood films and they expect their marriage to be like a Bollywood film. And they discover it's more like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Not quite, sorry. So anyway, these things increase the lust. You know, lust, anger, greed. If you watch television, you must buy this, you must have that. The latest iPhone comes out, and the people lined up at the Apple store for 3 days and three nights in the rain and the sleet and the hail, just because they have to have that latest gadget. So the modern media is increasing that. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, you're the body. And what to speak of fear and all these other... All right, so these are anarthas. So by following the process of bhakti properly and going on sankirtan, because we're a sankirtan movement, that's part of the process of bhakti. It's not that we believe you can simply sit down all day long and chant to yourself and go back to Godhead. You have to go out, tasmat sankirtanam vishnu jangan mangalamangasam mahatam apikarovya vijakantika nishkritam. That's our practice. Sankirtan means two things. It means going out and preaching to others, yes, but it also means sankirtan, complete chanting, complete absorption in the holy names. So then you get rid of the anarthas, and once you get rid of the anarthas, you become nishta, you become steady in devotional service. Steady means dependable. In other words, you're controlling vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. You're controlling your tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words, and you're dependable. I know what sort of mood you're going to be in one day to another. Nowadays, people are not dependable. You don't know what mood they're in. You don't want to talk to them when they first wake up in the morning. It's kind of dangerous. You wait until they've eaten prasadam. Then they're in a good mood when the blood sugar is a little higher. So nishta, and then after nishta comes something really nice. It's called ruchi. That means you get such a taste from Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabho kirtana richa gita vanitramadyan manasodhasena. Your tears come to your eyes. Asrutananga bhajo. Your hair stands on end in ecstasy. And this is 24 hours a day. Don't ask me how you sleep. But anyway, you feel these ecstasies 24 hours a day. That's ruchi. And then after ruchi, ashakti, you become completely detached from this world and attached to Krishna. And then after that, you get bhava, which increases the ecstasy. These are the ecstasies. I won't explain them because they take too long. And then after that, Krishna prema. So that's the goal. Remember that when you're chanting, when you're performing bhakti yoga, that's the goal. That's why you're doing what you're doing. That's the goal of your life. Everything should be done. Yat karoshi yadashnashi yajahoshi dadasi yat yatapashashi kantiya tas kurushwa madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer should be done with that in mind. That's my goal. Thank you. So that's the meaning of initiation. It's part of the process. Now, there's two types of initiation today. One type is the Harinam initiation, in which the devotees are vowing to chant 16 rounds a day, the four regulated principles. And we always advise the devotees during the Harinam initiation to avoid things that will impede their spiritual progress. Specifically, we talk about the 10 offenses. You know the 10 offenses? Good. 10 offenses on chanting, and I'll mention them very briefly. First of all, to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. That's the first offense. Perhaps that's the worst offense. That's considered the mad elephant offense, because when you commit that offense, you're a creeper of devotion, which I mentioned before, which is supposed to grow more and more and eventually reach Krishna's lotus feet, becomes trampled by an elephant. And then you lose your taste. Your japa beads feel as big as bowling balls. In other words, you can't chant anymore. It's just like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Phew. It's impossible to chant, and then Harinama is no longer attractive to you. You can't pick up the Bhagavatam anymore. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm tired. You sleep during Bhagavatam class. That's a sign of offenses. So don't commit that offense, obviously. And then the next offense, usually the Western people don't commit this offense, but it depends on your culture. Considering the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Brahma, Shiva, they're all servants of Vishnu, Krishna. And Krishna, Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabda Vritya, there's one God, it's Krishna. So don't think that everybody else, or there are other people who are God. Of course, you have many people who come from India who say they're God too. Isn't it? Like Prabhupada said one time, practically he said there's a God coming every week from India. Some of the gods, they hug you, and they give you spiritual realization that way. Other gods, they poke you in the eyes, and you can see the Brahma Jyoti. I can demonstrate that later. You just go like that. There was one play we used to put on when I was a new devotee called Bogi Yogi. Do you ever see that play? And so the disciple would come. He said, Bogi Yogi, give me spiritual realization. And he would say, close your eyes. Bogi Yogi would say, close your eyes. Close your eyes, my dear disciple. And he would go, boom, like that. And as the disciple was seeing the Brahma Jyoti, the Bogi Yogi would reach into the wallet of the disciple and take out his money. Very effective business. So, anyway, so don't think there's other gods other than Krishna and his incarnations. I mean, there's other names like Allah, Jehovah, Jehovah, Yahweh, in different religions. Same God. And there's other incarnations such as Matsya, Kurma, Baraha. One God, though. Same person. Advaita, Chuta, Nari, Ranta, Rupa, Madhyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayoganam, Chal. So the next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So if the spiritual master says jump, you say how high? Not why. And you eliminate the word but from your vocabulary. The spiritual master says do this, but Gurudev. Like Prabhupada said, or you eliminate the word impossible from your vocabulary too. Like Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary, right? Prabhupada was telling the devotees one time, I was there at that time with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told us to publish 17 books in 2 months, because he was ahead of us in the translation. I was in Los Angeles at that time. And the devotees said to Prabhupada, impossible. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. He said, otherwise, if you cannot do this, all this equipment you have is absolutely useless. Because we were showing Prabhupada the computers that we had then. I was very proud of the computers. In those days, computers were like tapes, you know, paper tape computers. And we had a teletype machine, which none of you know what that is. And we said, look, Prabhupada, look at all this. And Prabhupada said, it's all useless. If you can't do 17 books in 2 months. And so we did it. So impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. So the guru, bona fide guru, tells you to do something. Of course, not blindly. Don't worry, Alex. Not blindly. You can always ask questions. He's happy now. So, always ask questions. Anyway, but don't use the word but or impossible. Those are two words cut out. So, anyway, so the next offense is to blaspheme Vedic literatures or other literatures that teach in accordance with the Vedic literatures. So the next offense is to think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is imagination. The next offense is to give some perverted, interpretive, mundane interpretation of the holy names. Next offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. I'll give you an example of that. Let's say you have a Ram Nomi celebration. You know, Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. All right, Ram Nomi's over. Bring out the Kaaba. Those of you from Fiji know what I'm talking about. And then this happens. In Fiji, many of the Ram Mandiras, their marble is all broken. Why is it broken? Because there's this root called kava. And in order to extract the nectar from the kava, you have to pound it. And when you pound it, it breaks the marble. So there's many breaks in the temple room floor. Could you imagine I walked in here, if there were all sorts of cracks in the marble, I'd be wondering if someone has taken kava here. So that's sinful activities on the strength of religious activities. You think you can chant Hare Krishna, take one drink of whiskey, or whatever, kava? No. That is greatly sinful. Actually, you know what happens with the Brahmin who drinks liquor or kava? Does anyone know what Yamaraj does to them? What's the punishment listed in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam? They get to drink molten metal. It's a nice drink. Molten lead. How hot is molten lead? What, 2,000 degrees or something like that? And they get to drink it. Here is some liquor. You drink it with the boys. And that's the punishment. So that's what happens when you take a high position and you don't live up to that position, or you're chanting and you're using chanting to excuse your sinful activities. So the next offense is to consider chanting just like any other ritual, ritualistic activity prescribed in the Vedas. Specifically, they call them karmakanda activities, activities for material upliftment. The chanting is transcendental. It is the yuga dharma. It's beyond and above anything, even beyond a fire sacrifice. Of course, we integrate chanting into the fire sacrifice. But what makes the sacrifice bona fide in Kali Yuga is the chanting, the mantras, the names of God. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Purnashura Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Namanamino. Krishna is the same as his name. There is no difference. So God is there. I mean, how can you compare anything to God? So the next offense to be avoided is to instruct faithless persons on the glories of the holy name. In other words, don't tell people more than they can hear. Get people to chant Hare Krishna. You go on Harinam and you get everyone to chant. But don't tell them that just by chanting they get rid of their karma. Because if they know that, they may use the holy name in that way. Just tell them, chant, just tell them it's a nice song. You don't have to do it. Just like prasadam. Prabhupada said, you just give them some prasadam, like a simply wonderful. You probably don't know what a simply wonderful is. And they will become simply wonderful, even if they don't know what's happening to them. Or if they take a book, like that. So, this is Krishna consciousness. In like a pin, out like a plow, as Srila Prabhupada would say. And last offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and maintain material attachments. It's not offensive to have material attachments, don't worry. It's offensive to maintain them. You should be trying to get rid of it. You know, if there's some dirt in your house, get rid of it. Just don't pile the dirt up. Maintaining means you bring more dirt from the outside. Can you imagine you want to clean your house and you just take a shovel and you bring the dirt? It's pretty stupid. So we're trying to get rid of material attachments. And also it's offensive to be inattentive while chanting the Lord's holy names. So that's the first initiation. But really, those are negative injunctions. The positive injunctions are contained within Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashtaka. Study the Shikshashtaka regularly and learn the meaning. You have to know the meaning of everything you do. If you do not know the meaning of the prayers that you're saying in Krishna consciousness, then it's called Niyam Agraha. You're just a ritualistic person. Just like the other day, last few days I've been commenting on the prasadam prayer. You know, Sharira Vijaja, Yatendya, Tehekala. So I've asked a devotee, you've been saying this for 30 years now. So what does it mean? I don't know. It means we get to eat. That's, you know, that's their translation. Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot, Krishna. That's the meaning. No, the meaning is, oh Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance and the senses are networks of paths leading to death. Do you actually believe that? Or they're networks of paths leading to happiness? What do you think? The networks, You better believe it. So, and of all the senses, which sense is the most voracious and uncontrollable? The tongue, dharmadeju vayati, lobamoris, and very difficult to control. But then Krishna's given us prasadam, not so we can just immerse ourselves in material enjoyment, but to purify our senses. And so in love, we call out for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, please help us. So when we take prasadam, we honor it. You're honoring it. It's Krishna. Remember that. So, anyway, so study Lord Chaitanya Shikshashika, the meaning of all the verses. Of course, each verse applies to a different stage of devotional service. The last verse, you know, Krishna, you can do anything. Crush me by your embrace. Leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. That's not for you right now. So calm down. Don't be worried. Like Prabhupada said, the devotees said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I want to serve Krishna life after life. And Prabhupada said, you better want to go back to Godhead. You know, so you have to understand, for different stages, there's a different type of meditation. So most of us with the Shikshashika, we meditate on Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patita Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo Kripya Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrasam Vachintaya, which means, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I am trapped in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up and put me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So study the Shikshashtaka. Don't just repeat it like a parrot. You know, a parrot can chant Hare Krishna, but at the time of death, the parrot goes, squawk! Try it. Don't try it. You know, it doesn't have realization. It just parrot, bang, bang, bang. Hare Krishna, like that. So that's first initiation. Second initiation is called Brahmana initiation. Krishna Chandra asked me today, how do you become a Brahman or get the qualities of being a Brahman? Not simply by getting a Brahman thread, but by acquiring the qualities listed by Krishna in the Gita. Samadamak tapaksho cham, shanti rajava mevacha, gyanavigana mastikyam, brahma karma svabhavacham. You have to try for it. You become equipoised. That means happiness, distress, heat, cold, pleasure, pain. You're always the same. Shanti, om shanti, shanti. As they say. Samadama, and your senses are under control. Under control. Not adantagopiya rishatam tamikshram punak punas charvita charvanam. No, no, no. Not uncontrolled senses, but controlled senses. And controlled senses mean you engage them in Krishna's service, always. So, samadama tapa, and then you're austere. You go to the Himalayas. And you stand on your toes for 100 years and pray to Lord Brahma for a benediction that you'll become immortal. No. That was my Hiranyakashipu lecture. No. What you do is you reject everything that's not favorable for Krishna consciousness and accept everything that is. Simple. Yukta vairagyam. It means you engage things in Krishna's service. So if it's favorable to have a car, you have a car. If it's favorable to get in an airplane, you get in an airplane. So whatever is favorable, you accept. And that's real renunciation. And then cleanliness. Like Brahman, Prabhupada said, Brahman means clean, inside, outside, outside by bathing the body, washing your hands before eating, wash your hands after eating, etc. I remember in the beginning days of the movement, Prabhupada told us to wash our feet before eating and after eating. That was many years ago, before any of you were born. And it was interesting, we only had one sink in the prasadam room, and all the devotees were so strict that after prasadam they would stick their feet in the sink, and that was the same sink everyone was washing their hands and cleaning their plates in. So didn't work out too well. So, but basically that's a Brahmin, clean. And if he eats somewhere, he cleans the place where he's just eaten. He takes a cloth and eats. So a Brahmin is shuchi, he's clean. And inside by yakshmaret pundarikaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu, like we just chanted here. Always remembering Krishna, and then Om Pavitra Pavitra Va. Whether you've come from impure or pure background, it doesn't matter, then you'll become purified by always remembering Krishna. Yakshmaret Pundarikaksham. That means Pundarikaksham means one who has lotus eyes. Krishna has lotus eyes. So, tolerance, Chantir Arjvam, honesty, religiosity, studying regularly Srila Prabhupada's books, that's for everybody, of course, and applying the knowledge you see in the books or you hear in the books. In other words, you read something and say, that's for me to do. That's important. Because this knowledge is for application. It's not simply for repetition. Unless you apply, you will never learn. Otherwise, it's just, you become a scholar, a mundane scholar of Prabhupada's books. You read, you apply. You read something else, how does that apply to me? And you do it. And so that's what a Brahmin is. And those types of Brahmins we want. In fact, the real meaning of the word Brahmin is one who knows Brahman. So that's how you get to know Brahman. Okay, first and second initiation, promises, and then above all, we accept His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of our society, as the ultimate source of siksha. That means instruction, guidance, perfect example. And He is the person who we measure everyone up against. He's the standard measurement, as they say. Like they have a standard meter or a standard kilometer. So this is the standard of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada. We know we can't go wrong when we take shelter of Prabhupada and stay within His movement, no matter what. There'll be trials, tribulations, like in any relationship. We were talking to the other day about marriage. There's trials and tribulations. Any relationship is like that. However, we stick with Srila Prabhupada's society. Like Prabhupada called it a boat. And Prabhupada is the captain of the ship. And the Vedic literatures are the favorable breezes that push the ship along across the ocean, a material ocean to the other side, to Krishna's lotus feet. So we stay in Prabhupada's society and serve Prabhupada's society. Yes, it's not perfect. There will be all sorts of imperfections and problems, but we stay on the boat. What happens if you jump off the boat, even though it's rocking? You die. So you can die or get seasick, one of the two. It's better to be seasick, right? Than to die. So sometimes, you know, we're rocking back and forth. That's all right. But at least we stay on the boat. Okay, so now we'll proceed with the rest of the initiation process. Those who were taking first initiation will be getting their Hare Krishna names. And so what they should, one after the other, you should go to Prabhupada, the deities, and then you'll take your vows and come here and get your beads and your Hare Krishna name. So we have three devotees taking first initiation, two devotees taking Brahman or second initiation. And we ask you all to bless them, that they all have the strength to continue Krishna consciousness enthusiastically, utsahan, nishchaya daryat, tatat karma pravartanat, right? Enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Three things. If you're enthusiastic and you're not patient, you're just passionate. So we ask you all to bless them to have these qualities. All right. See, I have the names written down somewhere. All right. Let's see how it looks. Okay, who's first? Oh, Albert. All right. He gets the big beads. One of my godbrothers has beads this big. And his bead bag is like this big. You ever see it? I think you know what I'm talking about. All right, now let's... Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Okay. it. Okay, we got another garland, just like Fiji. Sometimes they give you so many garlands in Fiji that it just goes up to here. Isn't it? Especially in Lombasa. It's amazing there. Okay. You ready? So what are the four regulative principles?
No intoxication, no sex, no gambling, and no meat eating.
And no kava.
Not from Fiji.
I know that.
You might have to do this a few times.
Oh, really? You want us to do it again? So what are the four regulative principles?
No, not that. The bees. We want to make sure we get the bees.
Oh, okay. We just have to freeze ourselves like that.
Yeah, you just go. Just joke.
How many rounds did you chant every day?
16.
16 minimum. And in the Kanasi, my humble request, because I'm not so humble, but my request is that when you have ever have spare time on the Kadasi, you try to chant 64 rounds. Uh-oh. I just lost all my prospective disciples. It's a request. It's not an order or anything like that.
Yes, it is.
It's not that hard. You wake up early, and you have at least 16 rounds chanted before Mangalarti, and then by breakfast you have another 16. It's 32. You're halfway done.
And you put on saffron.
Now you'll be a better husband, more congenial. What I do, I'll tell you what the devotees. What I do when I'm chanting 16 rounds, because I have so much management responsibility, I have the devotees drop me off about 15 kilometers away from the temple. And they leave me there. And they say, wait, walk back. And then I have to walk back and chant. You know, force the chant 16 rounds.
We know what we're going to be doing next time you hear on the comedy.
And then, or if we're at Govardhan, me and Kalasambhar, we go around Govardhan, right? And we chant 64 rounds.
Over.
He's going to do Dandabat Purakrama. Next time he goes, right?
64 times.
64 times. He's going to put those little stones there each time. You'll see him in about 50 years from now. All right. So here's your beads. And so your name now, I'll give you a piece of paper with your name in case you forget it. You get the beads with your right hand. You ready to take a picture?
Yeah, ready.
Your name now is Acharya Das. Acharya Das Ki Jai. So, Acharya means example. So there's two things in Krishna consciousness, Achar and Prachar. And there's also Prashadam, but... So Achar means the example and Prachar means to speak. So we have to do both things nicely. Speak nicely, that's what an acharya is. He speaks nicely and he acts nicely. Because Krishna's watching you at every moment. 24 hours a day he has those web cameras on you. This is reality TV time.
He works for Microsoft.
He works for Microsoft.
He owns it.
He's in your heart. He even knows what you're thinking. What you're feeling, what you're desiring. Okay, who's next? Meredith. That's nice. Another garland? Oh my God. All right.
I should have garlanded you before I...
Okay, garland. Ready, ball. Okay, so what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no LS66, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Okay, and how many rounds every day?
LS16.
And on the Kadasi? So if you have time, if you're able.
25 rounds on a Kadasi, and if you have the time and the means, 64.
Means is always there. If you have the time. If you have the time.
64.
64, try. That's right, it's not an order or anything like that. But you will, your whole life will change if you can chant 64 rounds at least once on a Kadasi. Anyone here ever done that? A few people. Doesn't it change your whole life? You feel wonderful, like you've gone back to Godhead. You see Krishna. Okay, so now you get, I'll give you your name here. So your name now, with your right hand, you get the beads, is Madhava Sangani. Madhava Sangani. So that's the name of Srimati Radharani. Madhava Sangani. Actually, it's a very nice name of Srimati Radharani. And finally, our question and answer man, Madhava Sangani Gijai. Heavy, these garlands. Let's see. Okay, so what are the four regulative principles?
Going to be using intoxication, illicit sex, and no gambling.
Okay, and no mental speculation.
only so many questions a day.
How many rounds every day? And anacardacy, if you can. If you can. It's not a requirement. It's whenever you have the available opportunity, if you can do it, if you're feeling well, all that other nice stuff. Okay? So I was thinking about your name. And I was thinking about one great personality from the Mahabharata. And I'm not talking about Hidimba or Hidimbi or any of the people on the opposite side of the battle. So I think in determination, you should have a name connected with determination, right? So who is perhaps one of the most determined people in the battle, Kurukshetra? What? You guessed it. So your name, you get the beads with your right hand. Is Arjuna Das. Because Arjuna is renowned when his teacher, Drona, it's a nice name, isn't it? When his teacher was testing his focus, because an archer always has to be focused, he was testing all of his students, saying, you know, there's a bird in the tree, and I want you to hit the eye of the bird. And he asked the Kurus, you know, what do you see when you're focusing or when you're aiming? And they said, well, I see you, Gurudev. I see the tree, Gurudev. I see the bird, Gurudev. I see his eye. I see the clouds. And Arjuna said, when he was asked that same question, what? I only see the eye. And then he shot it and hit the eye. Pretty good, isn't it? It was an artificial bird. It wasn't a real bird. Don't worry. And so, that's the point. To be very determined in devotional service. Ekeha Kurunandana. Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana. Everybody knows that verse? Second chapter of Gita. Those who are on this path, Ekeha Kurunandana, are one-pointed. What is that one point? Krishna. Isn't it? Krishna, 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 hey. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava. Hahima. They're one-pointed. I just want Krishna. And so, Ekeha Kurunandana, and then Bho Shakta Sunantascha. Those who are not on this path, their intelligence is many-branched, right? And then there's another verse. It's very similar. Bokaishvarya Prashaktanam Tayaya Pritachetasam Vyavasayatmika Budhira Samado Navatiyate. Anyone's heard this verse before? I'm sure you have. That means those who are interested simply in the enjoyment of this world, Bokaishvarya Prashaktanam, very attached. Tayaya Pritachetasam, their mind cannot actually be focused on Krishna, and this one pointed determination can never take place. So this is an instruction for everyone. Let's be one-pointed. We want to be Krishna conscious. And whatever is favorable, we accept. And whatever is not favorable, we don't accept. It's simple. Then you go back to God. A very simple process. Okay, thank you very much. And now we'll continue with the fire sacrifice. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.